Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. We have a lot to cover. I haven't spoke to you in a couple of weeks, so we're back on track. We've got a lot of things going on. I actually interviewed former New England Patriots star Ronnie Lepet a couple weeks ago, and we're going to play this interview today in honor of Super Bowl Sunday. My Patriots are not in the game, which is kind of good and bad. I get to watch the game today and not have my heart ripped out and worry about who's going to win. I can just enjoy the game, have some good food, spend some time with the family, and looking forward to watching the Super Bowl later this afternoon. And then as I said, we have Ronnie Lepet to talk football and TTM and talk about his career and talk about his time with the Patriots and playing in the Super Bowl in 1986 against the Chicago Bears. So hopefully you stick around and enjoy our interview. And we've got a lot of stuff to cover. As I said, you can reach me if you have any questions, concerns, comments about the show. Send me an email to ttmcast@yahoo.com. Podcast is found everywhere. Podcasts are found now. We are also on your Alexa device. If you have Alexa, just say play TTM Podcast and you can hear this episode and all our older episodes. We are on year 2 of our of the podcast. Very thrilled about the way things are going. Happy to talk TTM with you guys and talk something that I'm passionate about. So let's get right on to our program. The first segment of our program is always Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in regards to TTM hobby and collecting. And it's been kind of a busy couple weeks. We just want to let everyone know our next show will be next week, February 9th. I've got a lot of interviews that I've already collected and conducted, so we are going to be going on every other week for the month of February and through March, I think. So our next show will be Sunday, February 9th or thereabouts. And as I said, I got a lot of cool interviews already done, so hopefully you'll enjoy those. Just got back, went to the Cranston, Rhode Island card show. This is a yearly card show that got resurrected a couple of years after a couple of years hiatus. It got resurrected last year, and it's held at Coventry, Rhode Island High School. And it's a kind of a cool show. It's kind of has an old-time feel to it. It's in a high school gym. There's probably, I don't know, 70 or 80 dealers. It's a good-sized show. The building was packed, and there were tons of people buying cards, which was, I was thrilled to see a lot of people there. Cy Young Award winners Jim Lomborg and Denny McClain were there, and I got to shake hands and talk to them for a few minutes. I actually have both their autographs numerous times, so I didn't buy any autographs, but I did get to speak to them for a little while, and it was nice to talk to a couple Cy Young winners. And I picked up a ton of stuff at the show. I had a great time at the show. I got a Carlton Fisk autographed jersey. I got a Gale Sayers autographed picture. I got I got 400 something 1973 Topps football cards. I'm starting to collect that set, so that was a good start for my set. I got that for like $15. I picked up all sorts of autograph cards. I picked up some cards to send out for TTM, so it was a fabulous show. And then actually went up to Twin River Casino after, and my wife, and she had some luck and basically won all the money that I'd spent at the card show. So in my mind, all the cards, all the stuff that I bought didn't cost me a nickel. So it was a fun time to go to the show. I highly recommend it. I think next show, usually they've done the show on the Saturday and Sunday before the Super Bowl. but I heard that they're going to be doing it in September, October next year. So we'll watch for that when it's coming out. And if you're in the New England area, I highly recommend it. It's a nice laid back show, a lot of nice dealers, and there's tons of bargains to be had at this show. So I highly recommend the show. There's a couple of releases coming out. We had the 2020 Topps Archive Signature Series got released this past week. They're $45 a box. You get one card per box. And I haven't bought these, but I think I might pick up one or two just to see how my luck is, because I know it kind of runs hot and cold and who's in there. But you always get a chance, and I think for $45, might be worth a shot. Also, the Topps 2020 Series 1 is going to be released on February 5th, so I'm sure I'll pick up a hobby box, and hopefully we'll get a cool design this year. I also noticed that if you're interested in collecting programs, the new Super Bowl program obviously is out. The Super Bowl is today, and you can get the program, new Super Bowl program, these two editions for about $25 on eBay or online. There's a newsstand version, and there's kind of holographic in-stadium version, and both of them are about $25. So if you're a Super Bowl program collector, feel free to, I recommend go and picking that up in the next week or so. And then also I'm started collecting a couple new things, and not autograph related, but as I said earlier, I started collecting the 1973 Topps football set, and I started collecting Kellogg's 3D cards. I really like the 3D cards. I picked up a couple sets on eBay. I picked up about, I don't know, 20 individual older ones at the show for pretty good money this past weekend. So those are my two new collecting passions as I finished most of the sets I'm working on. And I've got a couple TTM sets that I'm working on. Obviously, I'm working on the 1978 Topps baseball set, as everyone knows, and I'm working on the 1992 NFL game day set. So those are my two autographed TTM things I'm working on, but I figured I'd go for a couple of non-TTM things and really enjoy that. So as I said, remember, our next show will be Sunday, February 9th, and we will be running every week for the near foreseeable future. That was a mouthful, but as I said, we will be running every week in February and through March. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute was dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who was a manager for the Cardinals back in the 70s, late 70s, and also he managed a year with the Cincinnati Reds, and he had passed away, and I had sent him a TTM request, and I was a bit embarrassed by doing it, so I threw this as a service to my fellow TTMers so that they don't send out a TTM request to somebody that had passed. So we lost a few people in the past couple weeks. We obviously lost Kobe Bryant in that horrible helicopter crash. It's all over the news. I don't think we need to discuss that any further, but Kobe Bryant is probably one of the top 10 basketball players of all time, and one of my probably four or five that I've seen in my lifetime. So it's a sad loss, and sorry to Kobe's family. Lost Kobe, not only Kobe, but his daughter as well. A couple people passed away in the world of football, and these are three guys that I either enjoyed watching playing or really knew about their careers. So we lost Chris Dolman, who was a defensive star for the Minnesota Vikings. He passed away. He had cancer. We had Les Josephson, who I didn't realize. I'm not sure if he was sick or not. He was 77 years old. He was a running back for the LA Rams from 1964 to 1974. He played in the 1967 Pro Bowl. He was a pretty solid player in his day. It's funny, I have a Topps poster of his that I had just seen when I was clearing out some stuff, and I was like, well, maybe I'll send that out to him to sign. Unfortunately, Mr. Josephson passed away. We lost him. He was 77 years old. We also lost Mr. Larry Eisenhower, who was played for the Boston Patriots for 8 years and made four AFL All-Star teams. He was a defensive star with the Boston Patriots. little before my time, but collecting Patriots cards, I knew his name and knew his picture, and he was certainly a tie to the old AFL, and it's sad anytime we lose an AFL player. So we're sorry for your loss to the Eisenhower family. And lastly, we lost Ramon Aviles, who was a shortstop in the early 80s for a couple of years with the Philadelphia Phillies. He played one game for the Boston Red Sox, I think in 77, but then he must have been traded or sent over to the Phillies. And he played a couple of seasons with the Phillies. I know he's got 81, 82 Flair cards. I'm sure he's got Topps card. And he passed away, so my condolences to all their families for your loss, and we're sorry that they're no longer with us. And finally, off to returns. Returns have been plentiful in the past 2 weeks. I've been starting to send out requests, so they're starting to filter back in, so we'll run them down quickly. Most of these got returned in less than 2 weeks. If not, I'll say if it was a longer one. So I sent two cards to Larry Johnson from the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a running back in the 2000s, and I got two Topps cards from him. Very happy about that. I got a card back from Mark Brunell. Mark Brunell played, of course, for the Jaguars, and I got this 2005 Topps football card. He was with closing out his career with the Redskins, but I sent it off to him and he signed it. Very happy about that. I got Herschel Walker back. I had sent him two cards, but he did send me back the 1992 Pro Set Hall of Fame Hero card. So it's a real thrill to get a Heisman winner on a card, and I was a big fan of Herschel. That, again, took less than 2 weeks. I got a card back from Randall Hill, who played for the Cardinals back in the 90s. This is a 1993 card. It was not one of the cards that I had sent him. I had sent him a game day card. This is a 93 score card. He sent it back, and he took my top loader as well. So, unfortunately, I didn't get the card I wanted. He took took the top loader, got a little dinged in shipping. So I sent out another request to Mr. Hill, hopefully with my 92 game day card signed, and we can hopefully we'll get that back. I got a 1973 card back from Mr. Bob Lilly, who was previously on the show. He's obviously Mr. Cowboy, a Hall of Famer. I had not had a Bob Lilly card actually signed, and I saw this card, and I picked it up for a dollar or two and sent it off to him, and he signed it for me graciously and inscribed it as Hall of Famer, and it's one of my favorite cards now. I added to my collection. And then I also got three cards from my 1992 game day set. I got a card from Hartley Dykes, and Mr. Dykes signed it with a heart and a Lee in his number. And best wishes, and a great addition anytime you get a Patriot, and it also goes to my 92 game day set. I got Lance Olberding, who played for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's one of the rookie cards, and he signed that, and that was like less than a week I got that back. And I got Brian Washington, who played for the New York Jets. He signed it, put it in with his number on my 1992 game day set. Again, that was less than 2 weeks. On to baseball. I got a bunch of baseball back. I got two cards back from Bob Robertson, who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the 70s. And I got a 73 and 77 Topps card signed by Mr. Robertson in a couple weeks. I got a 19. Oh, we won't do 78 yet because I got a bunch. That's from my set. I got two cards back from John Olerud. One, a New York Mets Topps card from 2009, I think, and one more on the Blue Jays from 2005. So I got two cards back from John Olerud. Very happy on both these. I was a big fan of John Olerud, and those came back. Those that will probably took about 6 months. I got a nice 1992 card draft pick card back from Scott Hattieburg, who played for the Red Sox and the Oakland A's, and was featured in Moneyball. And I was very happy to get that one back from him. And then I went to, as I said, I went to Red Sox Winterfest a couple weeks ago, and I met Rafael Devers, and I got a Topps Heritage card that he signed. That wasn't a TTM, that was in person, but I did get him to sign a card at the Winterfest. Also, I got four cards for my 1978 Topps set. All these came back, well, three of them came back in a couple weeks, and one of them came back, took a little while. So I got Lavelle Blanks, who was an infielder. He played for the Indians and Braves, primarily for the Braves. And this is his Indian card, 1978. I got that back. That took probably like 6 months, maybe even longer. I got a couple. These couple came back the other day. I got Tommy Hutton from the Philadelphia Phillies. John Hiller from the Detroit Tigers. John actually took the top loader, but did sign the card. So that's pretty good. And then I got a card, his rookie card, Dan Schatzenader, who played for the Montreal Expos on the 1978 card. So that's my first autograph on this card. It's Steve Burke, Matt Keough, Lance Rotson, and Dan. So I got Dan signed it for me, and we'll have to send it off to these other guys and see if we can get them signed. Well, and that's it for our turn. So we're going to turn it over. So we had interviewed Mr. Ryan Lepet, who was a star for the New England Patriots back in the 80s, in the mid-80s and into the late 80s. And he was a great interview, very honest. We talked about life. We talked about football. We talked about collecting and his signature and all sorts of stuff. So hopefully you will enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM cast hotline from the University of Miami. He's a member of the University Miami Sports Hall of Fame and former New England Patriots cornerback, Mr. Ryan Lepet. Welcome to the program, Mr. Lepet.
Hi. Thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm very excited to speak with you. When I met back at in the Shriners Auditorium card show about a month ago, and there was a line around the corner to get your autograph, and it was hard to talk to you then, so it was nice to have a little one-on-one time, so I appreciate it.
Sure. I had fun up there.
Well, first thing I'd like to talk about, the thing that really piqued my interest is your animosity towards the Miami Dolphins, which you and I share. And I thought it was a little strange for someone, you know, out of Miami or Florida to have a little disdain for the Dolphins. How'd that come about?
Well, for some crazy reason, I didn't know why, but not many players from the University of Miami went to the Dolphins to play for them. However, they allowed me to come to their practice. And when I got there, me and another corner was watching the other players and trying to pick up some techniques that they were using, and everything was going fine until the head coach there decided that he was not happy with us being there on the sidelines after we had been there for an hour and a half. And so he ran us off the field, and I was really pretty angry about that. So, I mean, we were in the area and going to the University of Miami and just trying to be a better player, trying to make sure that no one embarrasses me in front of my mother.
Very important. Very important.
Oh, my. You have no idea how important that was for me. I did not want anyone to come up to my mother and say, well, when is Ronnie going to retire? And he's really stinking the place up.
Well, I'm sure she was very proud of you.
Yes.
Because you had a stellar career with the Patriots and the NFL. You got, you know, playing 8 years. Were you surprised coming out of the draft that you were drafted by a team up north?
Well, I was surprised, but just to a point, because everyone thinks that they can run when you're running for the 40-yard dash for them and going through their 20-yard cone-to-cone drill. You think you can run, but unless you've been taught to run, it's pretty difficult to get your timing where it's supposed to be. So I ran a 4.65 first time I ran for them.
That's what Brady ran in his trial, right?
Yeah, something close to that. I don't know what the heck is going on with me right now, but tears are coming down my eyes. I never understand what's going on with me nowadays. But I was running it, and I'm like, oh, my God, man, what is wrong? I keep up with all the major wide receivers and never was scored on. In the games, and I don't understand this. And my agent, who was my friend, I was his first client, Neil Heller. He didn't understand it either. What's going on? I'm like, I don't know. And one of my former teammates came up to me and goes, Ronnie, you need to come with me. I'm a track guy, and I'll teach you. Your style is all wrong. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. And so the scouts came the second time, and after running with this guy for 3 weeks, so they came back to run with Jim Kelly and check him out, his arm strength and all that, because he had hurt his shoulders. And I ran a 4.38.
Well, pretty good improvement over a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's all about learning how to run.
You find out to dinner or something for that. Giving you that tip.
Yeah, he was very fast, and I was keeping up with him in practice. So he ran a 4.3 as well. So there was something wrong in the. You know, once you're out there playing and you're going up against someone, you can forget all about that technique of trying to not be embarrassed.
Right.
Adrenaline kicks in and so on and so forth.
Now, who's the fastest person you went up against in the NFL in terms of receivers?
Ronaldo and Nehemiah.
Well, there's world-class speed for you, right?
Yeah, man, he was pretty fast. And he would outrun Joe Montana's arm, and the ball wouldn't even get to him. He was so fast.
Now, during your career, you had you seemed to do everything in pairs in terms of when you had an interception, you seemed to get another interception. Did you just find like yourself getting into a groove, and that contributed?
No. It was just the fact of competing and watching more film. As I got older and settled into it, first of all, when I first came up here, I thought this was a joke. I'm like, oh my gosh, man, this is so easy. This is unbelievably easy. I thought it was going to be tougher than this, but it's much, much easier than University of Miami. And when we would lose up here, people would be laughing and joking around and having fun after a game. And then I would be devastated. I'd be crying, and I would be upset. And I would And then guys were telling me, man, you got to learn how to drop it. You got to learn how to let it go because we've got another game coming up.
Like, yeah, well, I'm sure you didn't lose many games in college, right?
No, we just weren't used to just losing, even in practice. You must win. The name of the game is to win, and I must win. So that whole culture turned. And people start to want to win and saw it as a necessity when Raymond Berry came.
Yeah, I mean, you played on some tough New England Patriots teams early in your career, and some really bad teams late in your career, but you really had the fortune to play with a Super Bowl team, a really good team, in 1986 or 85.
85, yes.
Yeah. Now, do you have a fond memory of that season? I know that, you know, that growing up, that was one of my teams, the Squish the Fish team, and, you know, going to the Super Bowl against the Bears. Do you have any special memories about, you know, the Super Bowl or the playoff games?
Well, that year was it was a difficult year for me. My brother just got shot.
I'm sorry, didn't realize.
In his shoulder, and almost took his shoulder off, and they wanted to amputate him, and I told them to take him to the best hospital there was in Florida, and I'll pay for it. And they saved his arm, but I was very, very angry about what had happened to him and not being there to help him and support him. And I stopped drinking the night that he got shot. I prayed and asked the Lord to save his arm. I would stop drinking, and he did. I stopped drinking, and that's when I started to catch the ball more. My focus was on point, and I had so many deflections, but I just wasn't catching the ball. And it took something like a traumatic thing to pull me together and help me to soar to be a better player.
Now, did your brother get to see you play in the Super Bowl? Did he incorporate enough to?
Yeah, he did, and I was so upset about it because he had those iron or titanium things in his arm and his shoulder, his forearm, his elbow, and all that.
Wow.
Hands coming down, and I was afraid someone was going to hit him or touch him, and it did. He ended up leaving after the first quarter, but that was all right. And we were getting pretty pounded at the time anyway.
Yep. That was a tough game as a Patriot fan to watch. You know?
Yeah, tough game. But on the way to the Super Bowl, you know, I had two interceptions from the Raiders and no passes thrown my way.
All these games you had two interceptions.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you had twins because you seem to do everything in twos.
No. Definitely don't want that, man. I have a tough time. I, to be honest with you, I really don't even remember my kids being babies and growing up 2 and 3 and 4 years. I just don't. I have a 3-year-old granddaughter that she's trying to get in the door now. I'm telling you right now, I'm having so much fun with her, and just I can't seem to be without her.
That's
and,
awesome.
But I don't remember my kids being that young at all.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you were focused on other things, and now you can kind of focus your time on her, which is nice.
Yeah, pretty much. And the concussions I had and all the different dings, they call them, I had. And a lot of those things, man, you cover up. You don't want to tell anybody about them because, you know, if you're supposed to be a hitter, you're supposed to deliver the concussions. You're not supposed to be getting them. You know.
Right, and you played in a different time when concussions were prevalent, and they weren't, you guys weren't really getting protected from it.
Yeah, you just, they just give you one or two Tylenol 4s and get back out there.
Yeah, get back out there. Now, in terms of, you're talking about hitting, and you were a hitter, obviously, as a cornerback. Was there anybody that you really enjoyed putting a lick on or playing against because you either had a rivalry from college or somebody you grew up with or somebody that really tested you on the field?
I just like hitting them all. It's been one very special that I want more than anyone else because they were all out there trying to make me look bad in front of my mom. So that's how I took it, and I wanted to hit them all.
Now, how about in terms of quarterbacks? So is there anyone that really had a rifle of an arm that you just hated trying to tip or catch a pass from, that you're like, oh, I'm going to break a finger today. I'm going to dislocate a finger because this guy really fires it.
No, I never got any closer to John Elway, but that's who I want an induction from. I mean, he threw the ball so hard that, you know, you just have a chance to stick your hand out there and knock it down. Can't bring both hands up or get a jump on the ball. He was a fantastic guy. But Jim Kelly and all the rest, Marino and...
Well, you had pretty good luck against Marino. Would you have like 7 passes from him, I think?
Yes.
So I hope every time you see him, you rub it in.
No, I'm rubbing it in. I just tell him thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, he gets angry enough. You get his goat. You get angry enough at everybody. So.
Now, did he throw kind of a softball that was easy to catch, or you just had a kind of beat on him?
No one threw the ball with the velocity. That way.
Okay.
So, just getting jumps on the ball and reading him and different things like that. You have to pick up different things about him, and you'll know which way that they're going to run the ball. Sometimes throw the ball at least a 60%, 70% chance of the ball going to the side when he comes up to the line and turns to whichever way he looks the first. You know how quarterbacks get up and look to the right and look to the left and see if anybody's on the line. But if he looks that way, whichever way he looks when he comes up to the line, the first time he turns, that's where he's going with the ball. He's 70% of the time.
Now, did you pick that up on film, or you just picked it up from
Yeah, I picked it up and told my coach, I'll never forget the game. We beat them 6-3. Wasn't raining. He wasn't hurt. No receivers, had all of his receivers. No excuse. 6-3.
Wow. Yeah, I mean I'm sure you played in some tough weather in New England. Did you get to play in any snowstorms? Did you like when the weather was worse, or did you really didn't care?
I liked it when it was worse because then I can put on at least three pounds, a little more, because it's a hitting day. It's not much of a run day. It's a run hitting day, and I love those days. So they didn't allow you to be overweight. You know, you had like 2 days to put on 3 or 4 pounds, but you have to get it right off because they fine you $50 per pound per day for being overweight.
Right, now, in those days, you guys weren't making millions of dollars. So.
Yeah, and so now they're fining them $245 per pound per day. So
Yeah, you've seen the change in the NFL from when you were played to today, right? In terms of concussion stuff and even just from passing to running. And when you were playing it, you were the Patriots from 83 to 91. That was still a running league, no? Not as much?
I would say you had some runners that were pretty famous at during that time, and a lot more than now well known names.
Yeah.
So yeah, I believe in more running, but they had some passing. I mean, you had Elway and
Montana
and Montana and Marino and a whole host of other guys. You know.
Did you get to play against Jerry
Rice? Yeah. He was young man, but so it wasn't. He was jumping the ball like crazy this year. But there were a host of other guys that really can throw that ball. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's still you know, you played in with a lot of stars and played against a lot of stars. Let's swing away from your career. You had a stellar career. We're talking with Mr. Ryan LePet, who was a All-Pro cornerback with the New England Patriots from 1983 to 1991. He was a 8th-round pick out of the University of Miami. He's in the University of Miami Sports Hall of Fame. And, I know you get it. You know, this is a collectible show, and we talk a little about collectors and getting autograph requests. Do you get a lot of requests through the mail for autographs?
Yes, I do.
How many do you think you get a month? Would you say?
I don't know, man. I do know that it sometimes it's a hectic. I know that, but I know that we read the letters of the kids and some of the people that why they want an autograph. You kind of like understand, but there's some people that are selling your autographs, and that's I don't like that.
You know, I agree. I I'm a collector, but I don't sell everything is my personal collection. And I appreciate you and all the other players that do sign. It makes for a fun hobby. But there are people out there that are doing it for profit, and I guess you got to take the good with the bad in any industry, I guess. But what I wanted to comment and ask about is your actual signature. Did you have like the best penmanship when you were in grade school? Because you have one of the nicest signatures I've ever seen.
It's all about my mom wanting to make sure no one can come up to my mom and say that you can't even tell what a signature is because of who he is because of the signature, and I didn't want that.
It's a beautiful.
It was all about trying to do my best, trying to do my best at pretty much everything.
Now, do you have a favorite card or a favorite picture that you sign a lot, or do you have something that you prefer signing? I'm sure people sending you footballs and helmets and all that kind of stuff. But do you have a favorite card from when you were playing?
No, I don't. I have collected 16 different ones, and I just sign them. But when you're signing the same card, 12 times, I don't think that's just an autograph for that person.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, do you have a man cave where, you know, you have your uniform jerseys from when you played, or helmets or game balls? Do you have some of them?
No, no, I don't have that because it's disturbing to me. I have nightmares and I don't know why, but I wake up swinging, I wake up in sweats, I wake up scared, I wake up, I've lost my shoes, someone's playing with me, I can't find my helmet, you know, where's my jersey, and,
yep.
I'm about to get cut, and...
Well, it sounds like you really played the game on the edge, so you were always trying to be the best, and...
Yeah, so I don't have that to be look. I don't look at. I go to the games and I'll go up where the television is and I'll look at it and I'll fall asleep or. I don't want to. It hurts really too much to. When the Patriots lose or when the University of Miami lose.
Yeah, this Saturday
takes a while, man. I mean, it absolutely messes me up when they lose. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I never played a game. So when, like, this Saturday after the Patriots lost, I was, like, inconsolable. Like, really?
Well, good, then. I think I'm okay, then. I thought there was something wrong with me because I'm like, oh, this is awful.
I know. You're a fan. I appreciate that. There's a lot of us out there that are like that. So, you've given your professional life to the team, and you settled in the area, so you're part of the community.
Yeah, but the schools were better up here for the kids. I love Florida. That's where I was born. But education is first up here, and sports is after that.
Now, did
down
you get,
south is pretty much sports first and then education. So,
did your kids play any sports? I know they're
yes,
grown up, right?
My son played football and... My daughters played basketball and ran track and field hockey and different things.
Yeah, it's fun to live vicariously through your kids and watch them on the field. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's fun watching your kids participate and try their best and compete and things of that nature. You have up days, down days, and you don't want them to learn that elsewhere.
Right.
You're going to learn that while you have them at home.
Now you and
have breakups with their boyfriends and all that kind of stuff. You want all that stuff here at home, not
out. I have a boy and a girl, so I've gone through.
You know how it is.
My daughter's 20, my son's 23, so we're.
Oh, congratulations! Right. Yeah, yeah.
So,
you know how it is.
Yeah, no. And now you and I met at the card show in Wilmington. Do you do many shows during the year, or?
No, I try not to.
Okay.
I try not to, but the ones that are close to home are better for me because I don't have to drive, so far. And my foster son can just whoop me down there and come on back. So.
Now, are you surprised that even you've been retired for what 25 years now, or 25 years or a little more, and people still
a little more,
a little more, and people are still interested in you, and they want to meet you and talk.
Yeah,
to you.
I'm surprised. I am, but when I go to the games and I see the people and they say, "Oh, you were a good player," and this and that, I'm like, maybe I did play well enough to achieve some of the notoriety that they give out. And that's very helpful to me nowadays. I need that.
Is it fun for you when you're watching a game on TV and your name comes up? Like I was watching a game a couple weeks ago, and the Patriots got two interceptions. I think two people got two interceptions, and they were like, the last time that happened was Ronnie LaPete and Steve Nelson did it in 1980, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that must be fun for him to hear.
That was fun, and I didn't know that happened until a couple of people and my daughter told me what happened, and then I found Steve the next weekend, and he was so happy himself. Like we laughed about it, and it was very enjoyable.
Because you're so local, do you get to meet up with some of your old teammates?
Most of my teammates that are here, not that many, but yeah, we see each other, man. There's, you know, not that many up here, so we try to at least come together and have our alumni meetings and our alumni get-togethers so that we can see each other and things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the fun parts of being on a team, right? Even, you know, 20 years later, you're still teammates. You're still buddies. You can still catch up.
Yeah, and then you can bring a friend with you, which is great, and they can drive, and you can relax and get down there, and they get to see how things are and all that, and it's fun for them, too. So it's a win-win situation.
I got one personal one. I was I don't know if you remember this guy. He played for the Patriots kind of near when you were near the end. Do you remember a guy named Tim Gordon?
Yeah, he was a linebacker, Tim Gordon.
Yeah, it was a safety and linebacker. He was from Tulsa. And
what do you say, safety? Safety and linebacker?
Yeah,
what do you mean safety?
He was a free safety and a linebacker, I think. He only played 1 year. He was from Atlanta. He played with the Falcons, and then the Patriots picked him up for a year.
Yeah. I know he played free safety. He was a big, big, big free safety.
No, he wasn't that big. But he was
Tim Gordon?
Tim Gordon, yep. He's from Tulsa. He played for the Patriots in 91-ish.
No, I remember it. I just don't remember it. I think maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm missing his name up. I mean, his position up.
He played the last.
Maybe he played Tim Gordon.
Yep. He was 41, was his
name. Okay, Tim Gordon. Yeah, so Tim Gordon played strong safety, I think.
Yep.
Right? Oh, I got you. Okay.
So my cousin ended up being his manager. It's an agent.
Oh, great.
And he came up here, when he came up here from Atlanta, he didn't know anybody. So I became friends with him, took him around, took his wife around.
He enjoyed that, man.
We became
if you don't know where to go. Go ahead.
Yeah, we became pretty good friends for a couple of years. He came to my wedding, and I hadn't talked to him in a little while. I gotta look him back up because I saw him maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago when he was.
If you get in touch with him, it'd be great if you let me know. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
Yeah.
He's back in Atlanta?
He is back in Atlanta, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people go back there.
Yep.
Yep.
So he was a really nice guy.
Tim, nice guy.
So yeah, I went to a couple of his wife threw a birthday party for him, and I went and met all the guys, Leonard Russell and Zolak and Brett Williams and all the guys were there. And he used to get me when the upstairs they used to have at Old Sullivan Stadium.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Where the families would have dinner after the game.
Yeah.
So I used to go up there with him every once in a while. So he was very cordial, and we became pretty good friends for a couple of years before we moved
on. Pretty cool.
So we do know one of the same person.
Yep.
All right. Well, I won't keep you any longer. It was a little longer than I anticipated, but I really enjoyed speaking with you. I was speaking with Mr. Ronnie LaPette, who played 8 seasons with the New England Patriots. He was an all-pro cornerback. He is a member of the University of Miami Sports Hall of Fame. He is friends to the TTM through the male autograph community. He is very always willing to sign autographs through the mail, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Is there anything you'd like to talk about that we didn't mention today?
No, just want to wish everyone a happy new year, and God bless you all, and be good to one another. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much. What I'll do is I'll text you before the episode airs and let you know how you can listen to it if you like, or share it with your family and friends. And
thank you.
I really appreciate your time. And again, I thank you. I had sent you an autograph request probably last year, and you were kind enough to sign it for me. And it is part of my cherished collection. And it was nice meeting you at the show. So thank you. And you have a great night.
Thank you. Take care.
And that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. I want to just remind you that our next episode will be Sunday, February 9th, and we will be having an episode every week in February and every week in March. So please tune in. If you're interested in being a guest on our program or have any feedback or comments about the show, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I want to thank Mr. Ronnie LaPette for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the interview as much as I enjoyed speaking with him. Also, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for hanging in there. And as always, wishing you many happy returns.